As I mentioned a few minutes ago, there are three verses from Deuteronomy that are added sort of out of the cycle, the regular cycle of the Torah portions. Tradition tells us that it was Ezra, the scribe priest, that was the one that divided up the Torah portions and put them in a cyclical pattern here. We don't really know, in fact, if it was Ezra, but so it's just sort of handed down tradition. We don't really know, but the thing is, it doesn't really affect anything. But I just mentioned this morning, that that's what our tradition tells us. So they are three verses that we add this week from Deuteronomy. So I want to go to those verses this morning as I open my service. Deuteronomy 25. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear. And when you were tired and weary, he did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord your God has taken you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. The reason that these verses are added in our regular portion cycle that we have this morning is because Purim begins this next week. It begins on Wednesday evening. And so, because of Purim, these scriptures are added here. The book of Esther tells us the story of Purim and how Haman wanted to annihilate the Jews. Yes, boo away. So how Haman wanted to annihilate the Jews. So here's the thing. Why do we read Deuteronomy? The reason we read it is because God commanded the children of Israel to kill Amalek. God commanded them to kill the Amalekites. God commanded them to not even leave their remembrance. He said, "You shall not forget. Blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget." And if Israel had obeyed God, Haman would never have been born. Okay? So I'll repeat that again for some of you that didn't hear over the booze, substituting his name for something else this time around. If Amalek, no, you can boo, all right, if you're going to be booing, listen, we could be booing all day here, right? So here's the thing. If Israel had obeyed God, if Israel had obeyed God to kill these people, that nasty man in the Purim story would have never been born. That's the idea. All right? Got through that one. Because that nasty old man from the Purim story was a descendant of Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Let's go to Esther 3:1 and we'll see. In the book of Esther, it tells us. Wow, I don't even have the on top, huh? I didn't put it in there? No, I think you're way. Give me Esther, the Esther scripture. What happened here? I think that's my last slide. No Esther on. It's what?
There's no Esther on any of the slides.
Boo! There's no Esther? How many slides for my message? Huh?
I can go through them and you pick out the one you want.
All right, start with the... go all the way to the top. Go all the way to the top with our opening Torah scripture. No, you're... Right, okay. Now, go down one more. Now, we have a blank slide. Now, go down one more. Now, go down one more. Okay, that's... I don't understand that's why. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's my thumb drive. Fortunately, I bought it this morning. And you're going to find... You're going to find the slide Tetzaveh, okay? You first-time visitors, we're usually not this disoriented. We're pretty smooth, aren't we, right? We usually... Okay. Right. Okay, so before you do... Okay, just... Did you find Tetzaveh? The green slide? Okay, you want to just use it from the flash drive? Okay, so let's see what we got. Now go down one more. Now go down one more. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. There's no Esther slide? None? Okay, everyone, get your Bibles out. It'll just for time's sake, because we're already, all right, so let's do this. I'm going to have someone, Esther 3:1. Esther 3:1. You got it? Okay, well, you know what? Hold on. This isn't going to work, because then it won't be on the tape. So let me find Esther. Oh, boy. You know, this stuff is supposed to happen on Purim, not on Shabbat, not on the regular Shabbat. Okay, now, first of all, I have to find Esther. Okay, so while I find that, if anybody has any good jokes. Yeah, thank you. You got it? Oh, my. Okay. You want me to go into the 21st century with this? Okay. So Esther 3:1. Okay. After these events, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the princes who were with him. All right, that's all I wanted to read, just to show that he was the descendant. All right, thank you, dear. Okay, so... All right, so I'm going to go on, and when I get to my other scriptures, hopefully we'll have them up there, okay? We might actually open the hard copy here and do it. So he was the descendant of Agag, the king of the Amalekites. All right, so no Amalek, no Amalekites, no Agag, no Haman. Get it? That's what all this thing that we just took up. Okay. All right, honey, go to Esther 9. Oh, maybe I can find it. Hold on. 9. Start with 19. Okay. Do I have Esther? I don't have that one either. Wow, what happened? They got knocked out. Okay. All right. So just give me a second here. Okay. So Esther 9, I'm going to read Esther 9. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Let me just. Okay. So Esther 9:19, of the beginning of 19. Therefore, the Jews of the rural areas who live in the rural towns make... I'm going to go on. All right, we're gonna wing it here. Okay, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Okay, thanks. Okay, so here's the thing. All right, let's... All right. We're going to get on from Purim the idea was, I just wanted to show why the connection was from Deuteronomy, but also show you this connection, because Israel didn't obey God, what happened generations later, which was a really, really important event, because it was a matter of life and death for all of Israel, because Israel was taken to Babylon, to Persia, and Israel would have been, they would have been totally annihilated because of Haman's orders. So this is what happened, because they didn't obey what they were supposed to do in the wilderness. So a few years ago, I gave this message called the Butterfly Effect. And let me just mention this just for a minute or two here. The Butterfly Effect, it is a scientific theory that's, it's been widely recognized. And the term was made popular because there was a movie that came out I think it was 2005, in 2004 it was, and a movie, it was called The Butterfly Effect. Anyway, it was basically a movie called The Butterfly Effect, and basically what the theme of the movie was, showing that some small changes that occurred would change literally the course of history to the people that were involved in the movie because of one event to the other. So this is how you define the butterfly effect. This is the actual technical definition of it. The sensitive dependence on initial conditions in which a small change can result in large differences in a matter in a later state. All right, that's the actual definition that the scientific community came up with, butterfly effect. And so, all right, now here, do you have a slide showing an angle? You do, let's show that one. Okay, so here, all right, maybe we're on track here. So here's what I want to show you. This is you know, you see this in basic mathematics, but here's the idea. If you start on the left-hand side and you look, you know, if you measure the distance between the top and the bottom red lines after that first little curve, it's a small distance. But if you are to go as you go out and extend the sides of that angle, you can see how much larger the distance is. And the same thing would happen with a ship. Imagine that there's a ship sailing and it takes off, and let's say that bottom parallel line, the parallel line to the bottom of the screen, let's say that is the course that the ship is supposed to take. And so the end point would be at the end of that red line, at the end of the parallel line there. But if the ship goes off, even a couple of degrees initially goes off its course, and it's allowed to continue going straight, can you see how much off, it could be off course by miles and miles. Do you understand that? Do you see? You see, so this we have to look at. Small changes can cause big results. And I think this is, I use this as an example that I sort of made up just to try to show this here. So this is my emphasis this morning. I talked about the butterfly effect a couple of years ago, but I'm bringing this up again because I'm emphasizing not so much as I did in my first message about how things that are changed that we do can change, literally change history. But I wanted to emphasize this morning how small changes can bring large results, whether they're good or bad. Just like this, just like a ship, just like the scientific theory, but it's all part of the butterfly effect here. Okay, so the butterfly effect, and this is why they call it butterfly effect, because a butterfly flapping its wings in Japan, theoretically, or being killed in Japan, dying in Japan, someone stepping on it and killing that butterfly, or just even the butterfly's wings flapping, can have a chain reaction creating hurricanes in Dallas, Texas. And it's theory. All right, listen, understand, it's theory. Some of the things we can see where they possibly they can happen like that, but it's all part of that whole theory of the butterfly effect. Okay, so is it really possible? Does it seem a little bit ridiculous or far-fetched that an event so insignificant as the butterfly can somehow affect something that would happen catastrophic days or months or even years later? In God's word, here's the thing, there are examples of little things bringing up big events. Little changes that happen spiritually that can cause big changes on a spiritual level. And so starting with something really basic this morning, we'll just get a scripture from Hosea, hopefully. Hosea 8:7. Woo-hoo! All right, we're back on track here. So this is what Hosea said. And talking about Israel, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. God was talking about Israel because of their sin. And in this, this is how he describes it to them. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Israel, your small sins, the wind, your small sins will produce large results, whirlwinds, hurricanes, okay? That is part of what we would know as the butterfly effect. In my opening remarks, at our annual membership meeting that we had last Monday for the members of the congregation, I challenged the people to be watchmen. And I did that because I challenged our members to be watchmen for Kol Mashiach and for the kingdom. And this is something very important. And I sort of connected with last week's Shabbat message dealing with the watchmen. Okay, so I want to go to Ezra 33:6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Okay. And so here, as watchmen, one short blast of a shofar can cause hundreds of thousands to take shelter and scatter. You see, this is a good thing. So the watchmen, even if they do their job and it's done quickly, and even that with that blast of a shofar, or trumpet as they'll say, or horn, that blast of a shofar warning the people can cause hundreds of thousands to hear it and to take appropriate action. And seemingly innocent refusal or rejection or slipping our minds, things that we should be doing as watchmen, whether it is refusal or rejection, or maybe, oh, we just forgot to do it. Ah, we forgot to do that thing. Can negatively affect the congregation and the kingdom of God. And it can affect hundreds or even thousands of people when we are not doing things that we know that we should be doing because we know the Lord wants us to do. And we may think, oh, it's, you know, I don't believe in that. I don't want to do that. I know God wants me to do this, but I don't feel like doing it. I know that God wants me to do this, but I don't really personally feel good about it, or I just reject it for whatever reason, or maybe it just slips my mind. And so when we do these things, even on small levels, it can cause negative effects for hundreds or even thousands of people. Now, we don't necessarily see it, but this is part of that whole effect. So let's go to something that Yeshua said in Mark 9:42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Now, this is pretty drastic stuff. If Yeshua is saying, if you cause a little one, how do we define a little one? A young believer, maybe someone that has just come to the Lord, maybe a child. But the idea is it's a person and there's some kind of smallness involved here with the little one who believes in me. So if it's a person that loves the Lord or a child that loves the Lord, if that person stumbles because of something you have said to them, this is what Yeshua says, and this is pretty terrific. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and thrown into the sea. Look at the picture. When you have a stone hung around your neck and you're thrown into a body of water, you know what happens? You sink down to the bottom, and that's the end of you. You're drowned. So Yeshua sees this as something that's very, very important. Seemingly small actions with big results for you and results for the person because if the person stumbled, but even bigger results for you. The harsh reality is, or the hard truth is, if we cause someone to stumble or fall because of our actions, Yeshua says that we are responsible. Just as God the Father said in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, that the watchmen, the blood would be on their hands. You see? So there is a responsibility that we need to be aware of. We need to be very careful on things that we do say to people or how we convey the gospel to them or the good news of Yeshua to them. And this is why it's so important sometimes not to use our own shtick, you know, our own things that we like or dislike that may not be in alignment to what the Word of God tells us to do or not to do. But we bring in our own personal views and we start teaching them to people as if it is the gospel. Well, we need to understand, if we say things to people and because of what we said to them, they stumble, who knows? They may stumble and never get up. So Yeshua says it's important for that to happen. So if you have views that, and I hate to use this term, but let's say they're not the general theological beliefs or the way that we as believers act and function. If we, for some reason, think something because of our preferences or whatever, we think things should be another way. We need to be very careful before we start telling everyone else, well, this is the way you should do it, and this is the way you should do it. Because, you know, you may not be right. If you choose to go in that way, it's your choosing, but if you cause someone else to stumble on that, Yeshua says that can be really a drastic thing, a result for you and possibly for them. So the harsh reality, the harsh truth is that if we cause someone to stumble because of our actions, Yeshua says we will be responsible for that. Small actions, big results. It's the spiritual butterfly effect. If you have these personal slants, don't be so quick to try to get others to see things your way. This sort of goes in line with what I talked about, you know, the false prophets last week. You know, don't be, if you have other things, don't be so quick to try to tell people this is the way it should be done. So let's go to Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. Matthew No, he's not on there? Wow, something must have glitched me out here. Really good. Okay. All right, so let me go there. Just give me a second here. Matthew 10. Okay, Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. And these are Yeshua's words. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And this is Yeshua speaking to the people. But the idea here is not even a sparrow falls without the Father's knowledge. Because there is connectedness in all of God's creations. Amen. You see, this is the point. Things are connected. Cause and effect. What you do may cause things in lives. What events happen may cause other events. Because of that connectiveness. Why? Because the Lord knows the little sparrow. The Lord knows the numbers of your head. The Lord knows everything, infinitely small and great. And so that's the connectedness of all of creation. And so this is really why so many of these things can be possible. They can really happen. Spiritual butterfly effect. This is what I'm talking about this morning. And then, now we can go, I think that's Mark, hopefully Mark 8. Now I'm keeping my fingers crossed for everything here. Okay, so this is Yeshua. He asks, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and his adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And this is the question by Yeshua. Just a little bit in our lives, you know, and look, and I would say we were all there at some point in our lives. But we know that there's a world out there that feels just this way, that just, you know, they have rejection of the idea that Yeshua is the Messiah. In the Jewish community, they have rejection of the idea that he is the Jewish Messiah. There is denial out there. People are being taught by the leaders, and today people are being taught by people out in the world that all peoples are being taught that this is a crazy thing, that you believe in Yeshua, that he died for your sins. So here's the thing. Even a little rejection or refusal or denial or an apathetic air about it, or I don't have to worry about that thing, even a little bit of that concerning God's gift through Yeshua does bring a large effect. The reality is it brings an eternal effect of results. That's the ultimate spiritual butterfly effect. And that's what we're dealing with all the time, because the world and the unbelieving world and the people that aren't quite sure, they don't realize that their small actions of denial or rejection or whatever it is, they don't understand that the large, greatest result is that it is an eternity without God. The ultimate butterfly effect here. A little bit of action and a big reaction. Spiritual butterfly effect. There are millions of people thinking, are you trying to tell me that if I accept your Yeshua, that if I accept your Yeshua, that's all I need to do? Here's the answer. Yes. If you accept Yeshua as Messiah, it's sealed. You know, that's the answer for salvation. So our days on this earth, if we are blessed to live in our 80s or 90s, it's a small grain of sand compared to the ocean, the great beach of all the sands of eternity. 60, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years is nothing compared to eternity. Small actions, big reactions. And so this is the reality. It is a matter of accepting him. Why? Not because of what the church tells people, not because of some theories that man made up, but because God gave these very ways to Israel to give to the nations that one day they would give to the nations. They may not have been so, they may not have, the results actually didn't happen the way God wanted it to happen, but he wanted them, he commanded them to do that, to give them the truth of their salvation. And it is through the blood atonement, and that's it. He gave it to Israel. Small actions, big reactions. So the thing is, I leave you with the question this morning, what winds have you set in motion in your life that may cause whirlwinds or tornadoes somewhere else or in later areas? What tornadoes have resulted out there? And maybe sometimes we are aware that, oh, gee, because we did something or we said something to someone, look what happened to their life. Can we recognize these things going on? Or were they good or bad winds? Because if there are good winds out there, then there's going to be some great whirlwinds out there. You see? So we need to be careful if the winds that we let out there are good or bad. The worst part about the butterfly effect is it's our limited foresight. We don't know so many times. We don't know what's going to happen as a result to what we do or say. Many times, you know, it says that hindsight is 20/20. Many times we can look back and say, oh, yeah, we shouldn't have done that, or we shouldn't have done this, or shouldn't have done that. Well, the problem is that's hindsight. Foresight, looking ahead, we don't know how it's going to happen. That's the problem with the butterfly effect. We don't see just how bad it can get at the end. There can be good results from the butterfly effect, just as there can be bad results from the butterfly effect. So here's the thing. We need to make good decisions in our lives. We need to. We need to really try to consciously make good decisions and be careful when we speak to people about what we believe. And we need to do that because we know that there's something greater. There are possible great changes out there, and we don't want them to be bad changes. So there can be good results if we make good decisions. If we plant good seed out there, and that's why we read about in the Word of God about planting good seeds. Small little seeds that can create a big, strong, living tree. And so we need to plant good seeds, good spiritual seeds. And we need to, and this is really important, we need to guard against others from stumbling. Because sometimes they may not get up and dust them off and keep going. Sometimes it'll be such a negative effect for them that they retreat and they never can get out of it. So these are the things that we need to understand. We need to understand these are, you know, I don't want to, I don't want to, if I say this, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. But this is as if it's almost one of the laws of the universe. It happens. And the reason why is it a reality? Because of the connectedness of God with all of his creations. And we are all connected to each other. We are connected. Because why? Because God created it all. And we're part of that creation. And so, and we need to live within that framework. And so we need to understand and be concerned with our actions and the things that we do. The butterfly effect can be good, and the butterfly effect can be bad. But we should all pray that there's nothing but good butterfly effects in our lives each and every day. Father, I ask that you will speak to us. Give us words to say. Show us actions that we should take. We all need more direction in our lives, Lord, so that we can be the stewards and the servants and the disciples that you would want us to be. And so our prayer should be that he does all of these things to us and with us for his kingdom. We just thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Yeshua's name this morning. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.